Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. Davis.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. T, happy Good Friday to you.
Thank you. Happy Good Friday, peoples. These heathens got me at work.
See, that's how
these heathens up here in Virginia don't believe I'm getting Good Friday off.
Yeah, my mama had to take off as well. She well, of course, you know, the casino, like, they don't stop.
Right.
It's all day, every day. But anyway, jumping right into it. NBA playoffs are set. Instead of going and just going through all the matchups, let's just go matchup by matchup. We'll start with the Western Conference and just kind of give our take on each one. The 1-8 matchup in the Western Conference, Golden State against the Portland Trail Blazers. Regular season, came down Warriors, went 4-0 on regular season. The last two matchups in January were pretty close. But the news out of this matchup here this past week, Damian Lillard, point guard for the Portland Trail Blazers, and probably my favorite player. I love him. But he has come out and said that he believes they're going to beat the Golden State Warriors in 6.
You better sit down, fool.
So, I ask you, what do you think this series is going to go?
It might go 5 if y'all get lucky. It's probably going to be a sweep.
Yeah, I'm hoping his, you know, prediction come out correct.
I'm not hoping that.
Because I think that would be great TV. But yeah, I'm thinking a sweep as well. Moving right along, the 2-7 matchup. You have the San Antonio Spurs against the Memphis Grizzlies. Series on the season was tied 2-2. But honestly, San Antonio's one of them teams you can't really talk about the regular season with because of the way they handle their business.
Why is it that nobody talk about them, period, really? Like, they have a good season, like, pretty much every year they solid.
They won 61 games this year.
Nobody ever talks about, oh, San Antonio is a threat. Oh, they just over there winning, minding their own business, Kawhi holding it down. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah. I'm going to say this series goes to 4-7. I don't know what the, you know, I'm just going to say it's going to go to 4-7. I'm going to give the Spurs the win.
What's wrong with you?
What?
Talking about they going 7. What making you think that?
I'm just, well, they went 2-2 on the year, so I'm just going to say it's going to go, because I think this is going to be a grinded out series. They're going to go back and forth with each other.
I'm saying 5, maybe 6.
Okay.
San Antonio.
All right. Moving on to the 3-6 matchup, the matchup everybody is going to be watching on pins and needles because of the MVP situation, which
we'll have. Well, this don't have anything to do with that. That should be over by then, right?
Well. This year, they are doing things a little bit different. I don't like it.
Nobody told me nothing.
I just found this out myself. I don't like it. But they're not announcing the MVP until the end of June. they're doing it like the NFL does, what the NFL does at NFL Honors, where they have a night where, you know, they all come together and do a, yeah, the night before. So they're doing that, which the reason I don't like, that's fine if you want to do it that way. The reason I don't like it is because I always like that moment where the MVP gets to host up the trophy in front of their hometown fans, and they're taking that moment away now. This is going to be like an ESPYs type show where, yeah.
Okay, well, this is a sidebar. Why is it that in most sports, when you win your regular season and finish one, like they say, you the Eastern Conference regular season champions. Why does the NBA not do that? Why do you think? I mean, I know you don't know exactly, but
that's a good question. I never even really thought of it.
Like, why is Boston not saying, "Oh, we the NBA East regular season champions," or Warriors, "We the West regular season champion"?
Yeah, good question. I never realized they didn't even do it that way, but they don't.
They don't. They just kind of say, "You got the one seed. Good luck."
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I won't be watching much of anything because there's only a couple of these games on ABC as I look through the little schedule. And you know I refuse to buy cable. So I'll have to Google the scores at the end the next morning. Did you say it went 2-2 in the regular season?
3-1, Rockets.
The Rockets gonna win. Westbrook just don't have enough help.
Yeah.
Or an injury.
Yeah, Houston has way too much firepower, I believe.
So, I think Thunder probably going to get 1 or 2, though. I think it'll go 5 or 6, but...
Yeah, I'm going to say 6.
I think the Rockets win that.
And the final Western Conference matchup, 4-5 matchup in the L.A. Clippers against the Utah Jazz. The Clippers led the series that regular season 3-1.
We don't see them with 3-1 leads before. I'm sorry, never mind.
Well, all the games were fairly close, and you know the Clippers.
The Clippers. I'm going with Utah.
Yeah, me as well. I just love Quinn Snyder, Utah's coach. I think they got a lot of good young pieces, and the Clippers. What's the word?
Propensity.
Yeah, for playing so well in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm taking Jazz.
Oh, yeah, so
this might be a 7-game series.
Yeah, I believe it'll go 6 or 7. Moving over to the Eastern Conference, number 1 seed Boston Celtics against the number 8 seed Chicago.
That's
Bulls.
Gonna be a dogfight, unfortunately, just because Boston don't have. Like, they good, but I like Isaiah Thomas, but I don't put a lot of faith in him just to be like, oh, I'm finna put y'all on my shoulders for 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, well, the way I look at series when it comes playoff time, I try to think of who's the best player, you know, in the series with both teams, who's the best player. And I think in this series, no offense to Isaiah Thomas, I think Jimmy Butler is the best player.
Okay. Well, it definitely. And that's why this is a dogfight. And that might be why Cleveland didn't care about getting the 1 seed because they didn't really want to fool with the Bulls.
Yeah.
Like that. Because, you know, what's his name? I mean, he don't stop LeBron, but he make him work. Butler. They didn't want to see him.
Well, I think this series will go 6 or 7. I'm going to go with... I'm gonna pick Chicago in the upset.
Oh, whatever. I mean, who didn't know that? All the listeners know you. Well, not all. Our main listeners know you a Bulls.
I can't wait because that's not the Bulls per se, but just the fact that you know our listeners understand when I get to my chant and ranting. But that's here in a little bit.
Well, I just want to say, just because. I'm a Laker fan. I can't be rude for the Bulls. I'm at the Boston Celtics. So if they get upset,
You're not gonna be too hurt about it.
So be it.
Moving on to the 2-7 game matchup. You got the Cleveland Cavaliers and King James. You'll understand when I get to my channel.
I was about to say, what's this King James? When did this start again? Yeah. I thought we was past the Kingdom.
Yeah, got Cleveland against Indiana Pacers. I personally can't wait for this series now that Lance Stephenson is back on Indiana. And before I know that you got a little chant. We'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, I'm glad that he's back. I think that's even he's not even gonna be really a factor, to be honest with you, because I think he's past that.
Probably put out there to be annoying to LeBron.
And that's going to be his only contribution. I think anything else he won't be able to give at this point. But, yeah, that's going to be his contribution. Cleveland's going to win this. It's just a matter of, you know, 4, 5, 6, or whatever it goes. But Cleveland,
I don't think no 6. It's probably going to be 4-1. Pacers ain't got enough power. LeBron and Irvin, the rest of them ain't even really got to do nothing. LeBron and Kyrie, sure. Y'all just get over there and play defense.
I'm going to skip the 3-6 matchup for transition purposes. We'll come back to that in a second. But the 4-5 matchup, the Washington Wizards against the Atlanta Hawks.
Glory.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to pick Washington in this because I think Washington could be a team that could give Cleveland a nice run.
Well, I picked them too because they do have Wall. As long as Wall don't get hurt, he's always a problem for teams.
You're not gonna talk about
Bill playing well.
I'm about to say you're not gonna talk about the Gator.
Yeah, Bill played 1 year with us, and now once a Gator, always a Gator. But whatever. If Bill show up, they got a nice little squad. That's just gonna be boring, though. I ain't nobody gonna want to watch that.
Okay, well, the final matchup in the Eastern Conference is 3-6 matchup with Toronto Raptors against the Milwaukee Bucks.
That's going to be boring, too. Go ahead.
Well, I think Toronto will win. I think Milwaukee's got a very nice young nucleus, and if they can keep them together, add a few more pieces, get Jabari Parker back, who seems to be, But I think they'll be a nice team for the future. But this is going to be Toronto's series.
Toronto will play Cleveland, and that should be fun.
Right, but keeping with Toronto, let's move on into chanting and ranting, and I'll let you go ahead.
So, I forgot to chant and rant about these people last week. And it happened a couple of weeks ago, maybe. When did it start being a rule that you don't score in the last few seconds of the game if you win? Because we got NBA players ready to fight, like a fist fight, like in the streets, ready to fight Lance Stephenson. Because he just kind of trotted down and made a layup when they were winning by 15 over Toronto. They was in the Pacers.
Right.
And then I was like, if you get back on defense, he didn't run, he didn't dunk. He just trotted down there and laid the ball in and jogged on back and y'all lost your mind. I didn't know what was going on because I really didn't know this was an unspoken thing apparently in the NBA. Really, NBA? Really?
Regardless of whether it's an unspoken rule or not, Toronto didn't have to act the way they did. It wasn't like he just, he was just going down. The fans were cheering, which he said in the post-game press conference, which they were. You could hear him yelling. It's his first game back with Indiana. Lance Stephenson, that is what I'm speaking of.
Right.
And it ain't like he's just hauling down the court trying to beat the buzzer. He just, going.
He wasn't even going half speed. If anybody had acted like they were going to play defense, he probably wouldn't have shot it. None of them even, I don't know that they even crossed half court. Then they're going to have the nerve to get mad. If you don't want him to take a last second layup, how about get back?
Yeah, but there was no need for them to act the way they did. And I think probably if it had been anybody but Lance Stephenson, they probably wouldn't have. But, you know, just Lance Stephenson being who he is and how he rubs people the wrong way, I think that's what really set it off. But
no, but apparently that's the thing, like, because I feel like they said that, what's the name? Kirsch spoke on it and some other people spoke about it. Like, and I'm just like, really? If you get beat by 15, you should be wanting to hustle then if you're worried about getting beat by 17. How about get back on defense?
Exactly.
How about that? Before you get into a fight and then can't play the next couple of games because you don't got to find over something stupid.
Right.
Okay.
Anyway, can't wait for mine. All right. My dictionary. yes. As we spoke of earlier in this show, my listeners know that I'm a Chicago Bulls fan. And more importantly, Michael Jordan fan as well. Lifelong Michael Jordan fan. Here this week, since our show on Monday, and I don't even remember us talking about, I guess maybe they were looking at other episodes and they just decided to comment. They being those people out there in the social media universe.
Twitterverse.
Yeah. So this young person, I don't know if it's male or female. They wish to come for me in the comment section of our video. And they came for me in the form of of my disdain and commenting on my disdain for LeBron James. LeBron apparently got his, you know, he finished off his 13th year in a row, or not in a row, but 13th year of averaging 25 points or more a game for the season. Becoming the only player in NBA history to do that. And there's three that, including Michael, Kobe Bryant, and Karl Malone, who did it 12 seasons throughout their career. And this person wished to come for me and saying that, you know, because there is a picture out there now, I think it's on Bleacher Report, where Cartoon Michael is holding a goat and he's sitting next to the throne where LeBron's sitting in the throne and Kobe and Karl Malone are there and Kobe's got the snake around his neck and Karl Malone is dressed in a mailman suit. Anyway, this person wishes to show me this picture and to say that he needs to go ahead and hand the goat over to LeBron.
How you get a goat? He ain't won but three times.
And I think
you better sit down.
So I came correct. He was throwing all kind of stuff at me, and I wasn't going to comment, but I had to comment. And I came with a bunch of stats. I went and looked it up. And if you look at Michael Jordan's career stats, there's a bunch of there's a section called GP for games played. Bunch of 82s and 80s and 81s all throughout his career. He even played 82 games in 2003-2004, which was his last year in the league, which I try to forget because he's playing for Washington. And it was very very regrettable, very forgettable. But he even played 82 games then, and he was nowhere near his normal self. So you got that. Then there's this thing that will forever, ever, ever be my argument in as far as who is the greatest. Michael is 6-0 in NBA Finals. And if he hadn't have gone and played baseball, Hakeem Olajuwon and people like that would not even have won their championships. So, miss me with this, you know, LeBron's been to six straight finals, and he's assuming it's going to be seven this year. Miss me with all that. Because tell me how many, you know, he's got three championships to his name. And, you know, we went back and forth. Because, you know, of course, you know, ignorance, they can't leave it alone. But, yeah, so I threw a bunch of stats at him. And, well, you just don't like LeBron.
No, you said that. That was a given.
I'm sorry. That's your argument. That's something that's very well known on this show.
Yeah, we don't care for him. We don't know him as a person when we say that. So stop tripping. We saying, just tell him that he rubbed you the wrong way. Yeah. Like, and Brian, you know, and I've said this before on other episodes, I'm not a Michael Jordan fan.
Right.
Nor a Kobe fan. Kobe happened to play for the Lakers. But I'm smart enough to know these are good players, and right. I won't be that crazy about it.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that LeBron's the best player in the league.
And that's it. Because he got three championships. Like you said, Michael went undefeated. He won MVP in every last one of those. He don't won the league MVP five times or whatever. He don't won a national title. What's his name? Didn't go to college. Oh, well, we're going to add all his accolades. So if you didn't go to college and win you a title, that's your problem. He don't won player of the year in college. He don't won gold medal. Go sit down wherever you are.
Listen, you never saw Michael out there with Magic and Larry and Charles and people like that on a banana boat. Anyway, that's my last thing. That's my last
comment. And then there's that. Huh. Like, this league is just not the same. Because now, let me vent about something else, too. Y'all know how I do it. Stuff pop up in my head. What's this mess about not liking Curry? Somebody said a book came out or something and it was in it about LeBron, Westbrook, and
I don't know if it was
a book that started, but
I heard about this. That, you know, that it's like a that little group of friends is kind of like, not, I don't want to say blackball, that's probably the wrong word to use, but as far as like just they got him on the outside, he's not really part of part of the group. Of, you know, that little group of friends.
Well, that's good, because we need some animosity when these teams play. I'm tired of y'all being buddy-buddy. Good.
Yeah, don't like the little
baby-faced assassin.
I heard about that this week. They've been talking about it on all the sports shows.
I'm surprised, because Beach Report had reported that last week or something, and I was like, why are they talking about it now? But at any rate, what's the problem with him? What, because we don't got pictures of him playing out in the nightclubs before a game or whatever, or his little baby girl sitting up there looking cute in his lap when they win. We don't see him in trouble.
It's jealousy. He won back-to-back MVPs. He was the first unanimous MVP. And I liken it to Steve Nash. He got the Steve Nash syndrome. Nobody thought Steve Nash should have got back-to-back MVPs when he did.
Honestly, he probably shouldn't have, but right. He was balling.
The second one, Shaq probably should have won that year, but just like Michael couldn't win it every year, just like Kareem and them back in the day couldn't win it every year, Shaq couldn't win it every year. Even though that was during y'all's three consecutive run you were on in LA.
And I want to say, y'all know y'all get me on this soapbox. I want to rant one more time, too, okay, about LeBron and Mike, because y'all know how I feel. Let's just be very clear about one thing. If we want to say the greatest of all time, until such time as somebody win 11 championships, like Mr. Bill Russell, who people for some reason try to act like he ain't never won no championships, and no MVPs and all that. I don't know why he never comes up in this conversation, right, considering. But for some reason, people lose their mind. Let's just go ahead. If we're going to give out that, and I don't like saying the best of all time because it's disrespectful to all the other people that have come along and put their mark on this game, whether they won championships or not. But until y'all get 11 championships, go sit down somewhere. Thank you. Say some chocolate.
Oh, are you down? Are you off your soapbox? Can we?
I am. Okay. I just put it under my dick.
Oh. All right. Moving on to the ladies, the WNBA. Last night, they held their 2017 WNBA draft. And before we get started, I want to bring up kudos to you. Well, not really. I say kudos. I don't know if kudos is really the right word to use, but you brought this up a couple weeks ago as far as the promotion and the promotional power and, you know, visibility of, you know, women's basketball on TV not really being very strong. I said last night, I told my dad, I said, hey, WNBA draft, come on, I think it was 6 o'clock our time. Come on, 6 o'clock. WNBA draft already? When this happened?
I know, because when you sent me the email, I was like, what? Oh.
Me, myself, I watch sports TV all day, or listen to sports radio, watch sports TV all day long at some point in the day. I haven't seen one commercial for it, and leading up to it.
That's that bullshit.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And then we get to the, and he's been a part of women's basketball before, so let me not act like he hadn't been a part of the shows before, but Ryan Rucco, who is an ESPN personality, is one of the hosts of the show. Him, Rebecca Lobo, and LaChyna Robinson. And Ryan, he's a nice guy and everything, but he's mispronouncing names. You can tell he didn't really prepare. You will appreciate this because you're a fashionista yourself. He's wearing a light blue suit, which is the exact same color Rebecca Lobo's dress on the show. And stuff like that clashes on TV, and that has nothing to do with his ability to host the show. I just had to bring that up. But he's...
Somebody should have told him, look, can you go get a black coat? Well,
yeah. But they should bring in somebody, and I know this probably, it has to be an ESPN personality, full ESPN personality, so probably couldn't do it, but they should bring in somebody like a Debbie Antonelli, who does women's basketball all year long, who I think would be a very good, and yes, I'm biased.
Okay, and I say this, sorry to cut you off.
You okay?
That would be nice, but I think they need to bring in a big name, and I'm not like a big fan of Stephen A. Smith, but somebody that people know might, like if he follow, like people that follow him or whatever, be like, oh, he could tweet that out, oh, I'm doing whatever today, and that might bring few people just to hear what he say, and he typically get real animated when he talk.
Right.
So he might have to hype up these people and let people get excited about it. But no offense to David, not that she can't be excited about it, but whatever. But they need a big name, like a name that's known in the men's world, to try to bring some people over.
Well, and speaking of the men, in comparison to the men, there was no pageantry. The men's just feels like a real big deal. This one, it just doesn't feel like a big deal for the women.
Time out. Are they still sitting at tables like that at home?
Yes.
Like just your regular after the season banquet?
Yes.
That's got to stop.
So that's exactly how it was. And then the second and third rounds, how they'll have whoever's second in charge of the NBA come out and announce the picks. Ryan Rucco announced the picks from the desk where the three of them are sitting. He announced the picks, and just like an NFL draft late rounds, they don't really announce most of them. They just kind of pop down the screen.
Right.
That's how it wound up being toward the end of the draft. But I mean, they literally Kelsey Plum from University of Washington, Player of the Year. Won just about every award you can win. All-time leading scorer in NCAA basketball history. She went first. She was literally, other than Dawn Staley, the only person that I remember them even interviewing up on the thing. Obviously, they had only an hour for the first round on ESPN2. Then they went to ESPNU with another hour. So they were rushed for time, which I thought that was pretty shady.
Yeah.
They could have been given a lot more time. It's just, they have a lot of tweaking they need to do. And I think this Lisa Borders, the president now, you can tell she's trying, because she did mention, they had a lot of different things going on. They were in New York. They were, trying to do this, that, and the other, trying to be a part of the show now. And it's falling flat. I think they need more time. They need a lot more promotion behind it. But just getting into the draft, like I said, Kelsey Plum was number one. You had three players from the University of South Carolina go in the first round. Elena Coates went number two to Chicago Sky. Alicia Gray went four to the Dallas Wings. And also joining her in Dallas would be Kayla Davis, who went 10th.
Well, is she a senior already?
Kayla and Alicia were both transfers, so they were obviously redshirt juniors. But, you know, clearly they were in college for a year, so I imagine they probably graduated, and that's why they left early. So they could have come back another year, but they both left.
Well, can I just say this? Hmm? No disrespect. Because we're going to do them just like we do the guys. Do they? I don't think Atlanta Coast going to be no good WNBA player. I could be wrong. What you think?
I think
they be kind of athletic. She just kind of
a big bruiser.
Yeah. I mean, I ain't saying she ain't going to be able to play in the league. I'm just saying to take her number two, just like us taking Russell a couple of years ago. I don't think she's going to be that good.
I think she'll be a nice bruising role-playing post player. I don't think she'll be a number two star that, you know, the number two pick comes with.
Why? When you take a number two, you got to be looking for... Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
No. The winner of the first round, in my opinion, just because I really like how this girl is, how this girl plays, Washington Mystics, who picked from Maryland, the wing from Maryland, Shatori Walker Kimbrough. This girl can play. And the fact that Washington traded for Elena Deladon in the offseason. Coupled with a couple other pieces they have already. They got Christy Tolliver from L.A., who they signed as free agent. And just the pieces they already have there. I'm telling you, obviously L.A. and Minnesota are going to be right back because, you know, they met in the finals last year.
Right.
Washington's got a chance to get right there with them and be a part of that. I really like what Seattle has. I can't remember who they picked. They didn't get a pick in the first round. But Seattle's got a nice young nucleus. They got Sue Bird. They have Brianna Stewart from Connecticut. So they got a nice young nucleus. I think that right there, those four teams should make some noise.
Well,
excuse me.
Good luck, Sheridan.
I lost my thought. Where did it go?
Are we just gonna have like the girl didn't say whatever about the culture in the league, and we just gonna forget that happened?
We'll talk about that Monday. Let's get on.
Okay. No, I'm just saying, because then when that book come out, we don't want to hear this again. Y'all could try to squash this now. I don't want to hear it no more when the book come out, and then y'all be like, oh, well, she got some examples. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. we'll get into that Monday. I'll have to make a note of that for Monday. One more thing. Speaking of last year's finals, they mentioned on air that last year's finals, and I know this is, you know, President Borders just trying to hype the league up right now. Mentioned on air that was the most entertaining and the most, the best finals that in league history. And it was very good. There was all three were very close games. The final game came down to the last seconds. LA wound up winning their first championship in a couple years now, since back in the Lisa Leslie days.
Well, the best thing they did was not make you play East versus West.
Yes.
So the best could be playing the best at the end. So
I give it a strong second best finals ever. But I'm telling you, the best finals ever was the 1998 finals. It saw Houston against Phoenix, where Phoenix won the first game in an upset. This is back when they used to play the lower seed, got the first game at home. Which I thought was
stupid. Yeah, I remember that.
Phoenix won that first game. They came back to Houston for the second game. Houston was down, I think, 18. And looking like they were fixing to, you know, get upset.
Cooper said, no. Not so fast, my friend.
Yes, and they went on just a miraculous comeback, won the second game, and then the third game they went ahead and finished it off. But that was the best finals. And I'm not just saying that.
I think those were the best. And I say this. I don't really watch it as much. But during that time when Cooper was playing, I think that was just some of the better basketball that was being played. And part of it, I guess, is because a lot of the players were mature because they had been playing overseas. And it wasn't like, now, I mean, there are some mature players, but Now it just, it seems different to me.
I think it's just society. It's just part of society. Back in those days, all those women that came into the league had only known playing professionally overseas. They'd never played in the States before.
And, you know, they might not have taken that for granted like some of these kids do now. Good luck, WNBA. We root for you.
Moving on to some world news. Did you see this little boy, 8-year-old boy, drive his sister to McDonald's?
I did not see an 8-year-old child driving to McDonald's, but I heard about it.
Read the story.
And I'm trying to figure out, I'm about to Google it, how to drive a car. Because I didn't know,
apparently, here's the scary part to me. Apparently, you can find out how to do this on YouTube, because that's where this boy learned it.
Yeah.
And I gotta talk
about how to drive a stick. There's no way he drove a manual. So
as soon as we get off the air today, I gotta call my sister because we had to speak. Because my 2-year-old nephew, sometimes we're trying to wind him down. We let him watch some Mickey Mouse and stuff on YouTube, things like that. But no more YouTube. No more YouTube for him.
No, like the scary thing is, first of all, what kind of car was this? Because at 8, unless he had oversized 8-year-old, he should have had trouble reaching the pedals. In my mind,
right? I don't
want to know see what how big it was.
Yeah, like, I need the video. I need video or some pictures or something. I need to see what kind of car it was. I love the article that I read. It says, in a surprising twist, witnesses told police the boy obeyed all traffic laws and drove the speed limit.
He drove the limit, didn't hit anybody, and got to McDonald's, though parked, apparently.
Had his piggy bank.
So he's parked, right, got his piggy bank, and goes up to the counter and order for him and the sister. I wonder, was the sister in her seatbelt? Her chair, like she was supposed to be buckled in. This is way too much happening.
As nice as that would have been if they had come out and said that little 4-year-old girl was in her seatbelt buckled in and all that, I'd have lost my mind.
Just, as a kid, he did everything he was supposed to do. Besides, ask an adult to take him to McDonald's.
Listen, I bet that mama will never take another nap in her life.
This is even scarier. Imagine he said, well, maybe I shouldn't drive, but let me see how to cook. Now, he get up trying to cook something, burn up something. At least it's in the house, but still, like, because you can find, now I know you can find anything on there. I always say you can find, I didn't know it was like how to drive on YouTube, but I see quite a few videos. And
I shouldn't be surprised by this, because anytime my siblings asked me, you know, how to do this, how to do that. Did you Google it? Did you YouTube it? Have you done that yet? And I mean, my brother don't even ask me how to do anything anymore. He's heard me tell him that so many times, and I find videos for him how to do this, how to do that, and I just send it to him. So he just goes to YouTube now when he ever has a question about anything. I mean, we literally programmed his garage door opener one time with his truck off a YouTube video.
Yes, to change your inside car filter.
Yeah, YouTube. They have it all. And I wish I'd have ended our show on this story, because I hate that I'm kind of ending it on a little sour note. But last thing I want to talk about today is the United Airlines removing a passenger from the flight this past week.
I ain't feeling with United no more. I don't even know that I pull with them now, but I definitely won't be looking for no flights with them.
I mean, I don't even know where to begin.
I do. Look, first, dude, get off the plane. Because in this day and age, you're lucky something worse than happened. Because they was like, oh, well, you must be a terrorist. So that's why you don't want to get off the plane. And it could have been worse. Number two, I want one of these people on the plane to say, hey, never mind, I'll do it. I'll just take it.
Yeah,
y'all leave him alone. I'll do it. And stop sitting there with your cameras out. Oh, that's so wrong. Well, you didn't volunteer, so you ain't really think that much about it. Going down.
Unless I just have to be somewhere at some point in time, just take the vouchers and find another and get the next flight. Because, you know, they're always giving out vouchers.
How about let's randomly pick another person? Like you, like say you randomly pick somebody to win a prize, and they're not there, and they have to be present to win. What do? You go to the next person.
Yes.
This man has been adamant about he don't want to get off the plane. So you want to usurp your authority just because you feel like you're powerful instead of just saying, well, let's find the next person. And all right, T. Davis, you can get picked. And then be like, all right. Yeah. Somebody would have just been like, okay, because they had picked three other people that got on off the plane when they had got picked. United, stop overbooking. You double dipping is what you're doing.
Well,
the seat was paid for. So if the people don't show up, guess what? You can still fly and you got your money.
All the airlines overbook, which I think is ridiculous. You should never overbook a flight. It's ridiculous. You shouldn't do it.
And then if your people, and then let's make it even worse. It ain't like you were saying, well, I got this doctor here that's got to go do a heart surgery. You just wanted your people that work for your airline, to get to somewhere.
Yeah.
Forget your customers. How about if it was that important? Put them on Delta. And tell them to take their little stripes off.
Yeah.
Put them on Delta, Southwest, or somewhere and get them a flight there.
And the latest on this is the articles that have now come out, which, you know, always happens. Now that we've had this thing, now we got the articles come out, you know, trying to defame the character of the passenger, you know what I'm saying?
What is that about?
Yeah, it happens every time.
Is this scandal? Because that's something they're doing.
Speaking of, we're not going to talk about it too much, but last night's episode of Scandal was very this week Empire and Scandal have been very, very good. Scandal was the 100th episode last night.
Where do you go, Scandal?
And what they did is basically they took you through an alternate universe. They flashed back to the night of that little group deciding that they were gonna fix the election way back.
Right.
When they fixed Defiance. And Olivia says no, you know, to fixing the Defiance. And it takes you through an alternate universe of what would have happened if, you know, she had said no. And the things that went on was hilarious. Anybody that watched it, I'm sure you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. But Empire was good as well this week. Shots Fired, another good episode. Have you seen it yet?
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to talk about it on Monday.
It's about to get ugly.
Yeah, it's about to get real nasty. Because old coach from Remember the Titans, he's about to get... Yeah, he about to come correct with it. So we'll talk
about it. Happy Easter, y'all.
Yeah, we'll get on. We'll get in the Shots Fired a little bit more on Monday because I want to watch it one more time to get all my notes and things correctly. But yeah, Happy Easter to everyone. And remember the reason for the season. As always, I am one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with...
Tears, Good Friday Davis, yay!
And
you know, these kids got me working up here.
This has been the Mac and T Show Podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows. Sports and world news. Coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top. We're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.